The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses 3 to 8. Please turn to page 234 of the New Testament. Acts chapter 27, verses 3 to 8. Allow me to read the words of God. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lesse. Amen. Before we begin, I'd like to make a request. Last Sunday, a total of 9,028 church members, including Sunday school children and students, have come to give worship. If we add 2,059 people who are unable to come to church due to various reasons, but have connected online to listen to the worship real time, a total of 11,087 people have participated in our last Sunday's worship. It is a huge number. However, the largest worship place in our church is this place, the main worship hall, which can only accommodate 500 people. So every Sunday, our church members would spread across 26 large and small service halls to give worship through large screens or monitors. Compared to the number of those who attend a Sunday service, our church is probably the only church, both in Korea and abroad, to have such a small main worship hall. As we all know, a church is not a mere building or institution, but a gathering of people who serve the Lord. The fact that despite the small main worship hall that can only accommodate 500 people, so many brothers and sisters come together every Sunday to give worship, and we manage and preserve the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and Yongin Martyrs Memorial Hall, the two main sacred sites of the Korean Protestantism, and the fact that with 50% of our offerings, we are able to spread out the love of God to a number of institutions and people across the globe, are clearly a special grace the Lord has bestowed upon our church. We should give thanks to God for His grace. If there is one thing, since our main worship hall is small, and our worship halls are scattered here and there, sometimes it is impossible for us to know who our church member is. So the one place where all church members can come together is the 100 Together Church Field Day. As we have already made the announcement, on Wednesday, May 3rd, which is a holiday, the 7th 100 Together Church Field Day will be held at the Mokdong Main Stadium. The original purpose of the 100 Together Field Day is to have all family members come together in the month of May, the family month, and have intimate fellowship with other church members. In particular, this year's 100 Together will be held under the theme of Together with Us, Together with Neighbors. You may invite any family members, relatives, and neighbors you may wish to invite. I would like to ask you to come to the Mokdong Stadium on May 3rd with all your family members to meet and get to know other church members and share the grace and love of the Lord who allowed us to live as members of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. Today is Easter Sunday. Jesus, who died as a sacrifice of the cross, taking the punishment of death we deserved for our sin, broke the power of death in 3 days, as he had promised, and rose to life forever. Easter Sunday is a meaningful day when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, remind ourselves why we must live as Christians. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith in Jesus would be meaningless, and living as Christians following Jesus would make us the most foolish people in the world. No matter how much we live in wealth and honor, our lives would only end up in the graveyard as a handful of dust. However, Jesus rose back from the dead, and in Jesus who lived again, the meaning of our lives was renewed. In Jesus who lived again, the meaning of this world in which we live is renewed. In Jesus who lived again, the meaning of big and small incidents that we face has been renewed. In Jesus who lived again, even the meaning of the death of our flesh was renewed. If Jesus' death means the end of everything, Jesus' resurrection means a whole new beginning. That is why in Jesus who lived again, everything is renewed. Paul's journey to Rome also was renewed in Jesus who lived again. The ship from Adramidium, where Paul and the others boarded under the escort of centurion Julius and his men, was a merchant vessel that sailed to all ports in Asia from Caesarea. It was a merchant vessel that sailed to the ports of today's Turkey, Syria, and Lebanon. When you look at the map of the world, you will see that the coast of Turkey, Syria, and Lebanon is in a right angle shape. The southern coastline of Turkey extends from the west to the east and is tucked down in the southern direction from Adana, Turkey, to the coasts of Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. And 100 kilometers south of Turkey is a 200 kilometers long Cyprus that stretches from the northeast to the southwest. The ship from Adramidium, where Paul and the others boarded in Caesarea, sailed to Sidon in Lebanon, then headed north again along the usual route. The destination of the ship from Adramidium was Myra in Lycia, where Paul's company can board onto a ship that sails straight to Italy. Myra in Lycia was located at the southwest end of Turkey. In normal times, the ship from Adramidium would have sailed up the right-angled coastline, turned to the left, and head towards Myra in the west. However, the ship from Adramidium could not follow the usual course. The ship could not sail against a headwind from Turkey. Because of the headwind, the ship from Adramidium was pushed down to the lee of Cyprus, 100 kilometers south of Turkey, and used Cyprus to hide from the winds. Then, after sailing along the 200 kilometers coast of Cyprus, the ship from Adramidium sailed up to its final destination, Myra in Cilicia. This is what we have looked at last Sunday. And we have also looked at the meaning of Cyprus, that Paul, who was heading towards Rome, could not help but look at because of the strong headwind. What I'd like for us to look at today is verse 5 from today's scripture, verses 4 to 5. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There would not be any problem if the scripture said that because of the strong headwind, the ship from Adramidium had to pass to the lee of Cyprus and landed at Myra in Lycia. Yet, verse 5 from today's text stresses the fact that Paul's ship sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia. During his three missionary journeys, Paul took the ship several times. When he went to Cyprus during his first missionary journey, he took the ship. And from Cyprus to his next destination, Perga, Paul boarded a ship. Even after his first missionary journey, Paul took the ship to return to Antioch of Syria. During his second missionary journey, Paul took the ship to the European continent and again boarded a ship to return from Europe to Antioch of Syria. Also, during his last missionary journey, Paul took the ship in several occasions. To Paul, who traveled across the Mediterranean 2,000 years ago, ship was the most important means of transportation. However, before today's scripture, none of the seas that Paul traveled was recorded in the Bible. So then why did Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, mention the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia in the scripture? What was the message Luke was trying to convey by mentioning the names of the sea? Years ago, in the southern coast of the Asia Minor of the Roman Empire, which is the modern Turkey, were two important administrative districts. Those districts were Cilicia and Pamphylia. In fact, the ship from Adramidium, where Paul was boarded, sailed along the coast of Cyprus that stretched 200 kilometers. However, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, did not say that Paul's ship crossed the sea on the coast of Cyprus, but brought the names of Cilicia and Pamphylia, which are 100 kilometers away from Cyprus, to testify that Paul crossed the sea. It is because just like Cyprus, Cilicia and Pamphylia were important places in Paul's life. In Cilicia was Tarsus, the city where Paul was born. Cilicia was Paul's hometown, so to speak. Paul was born as a diaspora Jew in Tarsus, Cilicia. It was because Paul's ancestors had long left the land of Israel and settled down in Tarsus, Cilicia. Paul was born in the land of the Gentiles and grew up among the Gentiles. So he could speak the Greek language as a mother language, the official language of the Mediterranean world at the time, although he was a Jew. He was a so-called Greek Jew who did not find living with the Gentiles, inconvenient at all. Moreover, Paul's parents had obtained Roman citizenship, so legally, Paul was also a Roman citizen. Thanks to that, Paul was able to fulfill Jesus' calling as his huperitus and martis. In the Roman Empire, where the official language was Greek, Paul was able to fully explain and preach the gospel in Greek in any city and could be legally protected as a Roman citizen. Even now, as a Roman citizen who appealed to the Roman emperor, Paul was headed towards Rome under the escort of Julius, a member of the imperial regiment. The ship from Adramidium, where Paul was on board, was pushed to Cyprus due to a strong headwind and was sailing along the coast of the island. 100 kilometers north to the coast was Paul's hometown, Cilicia. When Paul, in his late years, looked back into his life while thinking about his hometown, the fact that he was born a Greek Jew and a Roman citizen in Tarsus, Cilicia, was in itself God's mysterious work in providence. If he was born in Israel as a Hebrew Jew who could only speak Hebrew, he couldn't have been used as God's huperitus and martis for the Gentiles. Even before Paul was born, God had worked in mysterious ways to use Paul as his instrument. Wouldn't have Paul, who had confirmed this fact, determined once again to live the remaining years of his life for God? So the sea was not an ordinary sea. That sea was a screen of grace that portrayed God's mysterious work for Paul. That is why Luke had used the name of Paul's hometown to record in today's passage that Paul had crossed the Sea of Cilicia. Pamphylia is located west to Cilicia. Perga, the destination of Paul's second missionary journey, is located in Pamphylia. Cyprus was the destination of Paul's first missionary journey, and the next destination was Perga in Pamphylia. The reason why Perga is so important is because what happened in Perga completely changed Paul's missionary journeys afterwards. To those who traveled on foot 2,000 years ago, it was common to eat and sleep on the road. In that sense, to Paul and Barnabas, who went off to the first missionary journey, Mark, the young man who accompanied them, was an essential helper. However, to Mark, who was an only son of a wealthy family, the journey to Cyprus, the destination of the first missionary journey, must have been exhausting. And so he returned home as soon as they reached Perga. So Paul and Barnabas had to complete the journey of their first missionary trip without any helper. Soon after, Paul and Barnabas decided to go on a second missionary journey. They had decided to revisit the places they had gone during the first missionary journey. However, because of Mark, Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways. While Barnabas insisted on taking Mark, his cousin, in the second missionary journey, Paul opposed to this idea that they cannot take Mark, who had left them irresponsibly during the first missionary journey. Had Paul and Barnabas not gone their separate ways, their second missionary journey would have been limited to Turkey, as they had planned to revisit the places from the first missionary trip. And even after that, Paul's journey would have been limited to Turkey. However, Paul, who left Barnabas, chose Silas as his helper, decided to go the opposite direction from his first journey, and ended up traveling all the way to Europe, and now was headed towards the heart of the empire, Rome. On the ship from Adramidium, Paul looked back into his life and realized that Mark was at the starting point of his journey of preaching the gospel that began in Asia, then in Europe, and now on his way to the heart of the empire, Rome. Up until then, Paul had regarded Mark as an irresponsible young man who returned home from Perga in Pamphylia for no good reason. However, looking back at Pamphylia, which is located 100 kilometers north to the coast of Cyprus from the ship from Adramidium, Paul's mind changed. Paul realized that it was all God's mysterious work that used Mark to leave Paul in Perga in Pamphylia to call Paul from Asia to Europe and to Rome, which is the heart of the empire. And that sea which awakened Paul was no ordinary sea either. That sea was also a screen of God's grace that awakened Paul to the mysterious ways of God's work. That is why Luke had written that Paul had crossed the sea of Pamphylia in today's text. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul, who realized God's mysterious work through Mark in the Sea of Pamphylia, called Mark to be with him after Paul had reached Rome. Although it took some time, Paul had restored his relationship with Mark. And Mark stood by Paul until Paul was beheaded and died. No one can deny the fact that Paul's consideration was part of the reason why Mark was able to record the book of Mark, although he was not a direct apostle of Jesus. Paul's journey that stretched over 1,000 kilometers on the ship from Adramidium that set off from Caesarea to Myra in Lycia was not a simple journey. In God's mysterious work that stirred up headwinds from the north, Paul went back to Cyprus, the origin of his soul, to the Sea of Cilicia, where he was born as a Roman citizen. Then, by crossing the Sea of Pamphylia where the path of his journey completely changed because of Mark, his spirit was cleansed all the more in the Lord. God had so beautifully refined the spirit of Paul, who was about to throw himself for the Lord in Rome. Then, let us now think about this from the perspective of the Christians in Rome. As I have said last week, even before Paul's visit to Rome, there already were some native Christians in Rome. There's a testimony in the Bible that helps us guess who preached the gospel to these people. This is when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on the Pentecost. The disciples, touched by the Holy Spirit, preached the gospel, and people from every part of the Mediterranean world heard the preaching of the disciples. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 10, there were strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. These were Jews who visited Jerusalem from Rome on the Pentecost, and Gentiles who converted to Judaism. These Romans returned to Rome, began to give worship together, which led to the birth of the church in Rome. It's just as before the missionaries reached Joseon, the people of Joseon who heard the gospel abroad came back to Joseon and built churches on their own. At that time, there was no New Testament. Christians in Rome did not know the gospel, except for what they had heard from the disciples in Jerusalem in Pentecost. There was no other way for them to learn, either. Paul, who heard about the situation faced by the Christians in Rome, wrote a letter in Corinth during his third missionary journey. And that letter was the essence of the gospel that revealed what salvation and gospel is, who Jesus is, and why Jesus is the Savior. How touched and thrilled the Roman Christians must have been after receiving Paul's letter and encountered the essence of the gospel. However, there was a limit to reading and understanding the Romans just by themselves. They needed a spiritual leader who would help them deepen the understanding. However, at the end of Romans, Paul mentions that he himself will come visit Rome. How great would the spiritual experience be for the Christians in Rome to learn the gospel directly from Paul? From that day on, wouldn't have the Christians in Rome waited for Paul's visit? However, no matter how long they waited, there was no news of Paul's visit. As days went by, the tyranny of Emperor Nero worsened, and the injustice of the Romans became all the more pronounced. For the Christians of Rome, living as God's disciples without a spiritual leader under such condition would have felt as if they were living in an isolated island. Wouldn't you think they would have had desperate questions in their minds, such as, has God forgotten us? Has God given up on us? What do you think? Did God forget about the church in Rome, the Christians in Rome? Did God give up on them? The answer is no. the Lord led Paul to appeal to the emperor so that he may be safely guarded by the Roman soldiers, so that he may safely reach Rome, even in the assassination threats of the Jews. The Lord led the ship from Adramidium, where Paul was on board, to cross the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, along the coast of Cyprus, to further purify Paul's spirit, who was about to end his life in Rome. The rough wind may be coming. Paul is now approaching Rome. It is just that the Christians in Rome cannot see this coming, so they do not know of this. Just because they cannot see it, just because they do not know about it, it will be foolish if the Christians in Rome are to resent and deny the Lord, who is working in mysterious ways without any error for them in the Mediterranean. The Christians in Rome, who feel isolated as if they are stranded in an island because they cannot see anything, the Lord, who is working in mysterious ways for them out in the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. The same applies to our relationship with God. How many times have we carried resentment against the Lord because we did not see the result we wanted? How many times have we denied the Lord because the situation was unfolding in an unfavorable way? However, let us not forget that the Lord we believe in is the Lord who rose back from the dead in 3 days, who transcends time and space. Even if we do not see anything before our eyes, even though injustice prevail, the Lord is working in mysterious ways for us, without any error, this very moment in the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. If the wind blows and drives us off from the course of our lives, that is our Sea of Cilicia, where we can reaffirm God's grace and plan that have been prepared for us even before we were born. If things unfold in a way that seemed to be unfavorable to us, that very situation is the Sea of Pamphylia, where we have to correct a broken relationship with someone. Let us not forget. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, the meaning of our birth is renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, the meaning of our human relationship is renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, the meaning of life is renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, the meaning of this world is renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, the meaning of big and small incidents that we face is renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, even the meaning of death is renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, everything becomes a source of hope. Let us pray. I blamed the Lord endlessly because I did not see what I wanted to see. I denied you, Lord, because things developed in ways contrary to my calculations. But I thank you, Lord, for being my God, who broke the power of death and rose again in 3 days and transcended time and space. Thank you, Lord. Even if we cannot see anything, help us to be reminded at all times that the Lord who rose again in 3 days is working in mysterious ways for me, even this very moment in the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, please let the meaning of our birth be renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, please let the meaning of our human relationships be renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, let the meaning of life be renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, let the meaning of the tragedy of the Sewol ferry that took away the lives of so many innocent people be renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, let the meaning of inter-Korean relations in extreme confrontation be renewed. In the Lord who rose again in 3 days, let the meaning of this nation be renewed through the presidential election, which will be held on May 9th. Let us not forget that there is nothing that does not lead to hope in you, Lord, who broke the power of death and rose again in 3 days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.